This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Don Beebe. We watched his rival, the Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers, before that, the Buffalo Bills. Storied career. The guy that found a way to get it done consistently. Now his son Chad, of course, playing for the Minnesota Vikings. We thought what an appropriate interview that would be. And so we bring him into the conversation. Don Beebe, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
I've spent a little bit of time with your son Chad there at the Minnesota Vikings, and he's an impressive young man because when you talk to him, football isn't the first thing that comes from his mouth. It is, you know, when you go into the conversation that you know he knows is coming about impressions dad made on me, I was so impressed with him because he said, yeah, my dad was a good football player and he coached and I was involved. But more than anything, he gave me a faith. And the way they lived his life is the most important thing he gave. He leaps right from football into what's really important. I thought, not that you don't know that, but it's always nice for a father to know that what he set out to do, he has impressed upon his son.
Well, that's good to hear. Chad, certainly his faith is first. There's no question about that. And Mom and I have tried to teach all of our four kids that at a very young age. And because they're going to face a lot of difficulties in this world. And with that being said, we found peace and joy through our faith, and if that's the one thing that we can hand down to our kids, that would be the most important.
You know, and of course, you can't help the parallels. You and Chad, and neither one of you considered oversized for sure to play your position. But take me back to your career. How did you get where you got? What was it you had to do? How did you have to stand out and splash or make an impression to make an NFL team and stick?
Well, that's a long story there, but both of our stories are crazy in itself. I should have never played in the NFL, and he certainly shouldn't be where he is. And if it wasn't for our faith, and just making good decisions based on that, I would have not played 9 years. There's no question. And I don't think Jed would be where he is either. But for me, I only played 2 years of college football, and one of them was at a really small NAIA Division II school called Shadron State. And because of that, I was very fortunate to get invited to the NFL Combine in 1989. And I broke the all-time record, ran a 4.25 in the 40 that day in my flopping fishing shoe from high school.
Huh.
So I didn't have an agent. I didn't have track shoes. I just had my shoes from high school. So, my life changed that day. I had 21 personal workouts out at Shadron before the draft, and I landed up being the first pick in the third round that year of the Buffalo Bills. So it was an amazing story in itself. So, and then Chad's story obviously is different in a sense, but, you know, he was a Division I player. He had 8 offers coming out of high school, but yet his is different in the sense that he had so many injuries and setbacks. He's a living testimony of perseverance and never giving up himself. And he just kept going. And when he's had his opportunity, he shined, and then he's had a setback. Right now he's doing what he's wanted to do all his life. And I'm very proud of him.
You know, and different coaches influence players different ways, and you had a chance to play for some pretty storied coaches. What was Marv Levy like?
Marv Levy was the best. If you ever asked me who was my favorite and biggest influence on me, certainly, you know, my coaches in younger years, but I have a great relationship with my high school coach, and I also have a great relationship with Coach Levy. And I have the highest – I could not say – good enough things about that man.
What did he do so well? Because I've heard this more than once. We have him on the show from time to time. He lives in Chicago now. But what was it that he did?
You know, at that level, it's hard to be fair. It's hard to be transparent. It's hard to be humble. It's hard to have a great relationship with the guys, because a lot of times you know those coaches are a little standoffish, and it's not like high school. I mean, high school, they're like your father, you know.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there's some out there that have a unique way of doing it still at the professional level, but he was just, he cut me. I didn't say he cut me, but after 6 years with Buffalo Bills, he told me that they were going to move in another direction. But it was done in such a professional way, in a caring way, in a humble way, that I was like, formed a relationship with him. My wife and I still try to get downtown Chicago every year to go dinner with him and Franny.
Huh.
And we consider them friends. Even though he's 93 years old, he's still a good friend.
He's 93 now, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I love listening to him when we've had him on the radio. His hearing's getting a little bit tough, as you know, these days. But he's just got such insight and such wit and such a command of what it is he wants to do. You know, Jim Kelly obviously has gone through some tough medical times. What was he like as a quarterback?
Jim also was just a lot of fun. When I think of Jim Kelly, I think of an extreme loyal person. He's very loyal. The reason I say that is I lost one of my best friends in high school to a drunk driver 1 month after I had won the Super Bowl with the Packers. And Jim, I wanted to raise some money for the two boys. He had two boys at that time, my buddy did. And the first guy I called, I wanted to do a function, a football camp, a one-day, two-day football camp. And the first guy I called is Jim Kelly, and Jim said, I can't do it. I'm in Florida. You know, I don't get back until the day after that deal. And he says, let me call you back in 5 minutes. He calls me back in 5 minutes. He rearranged his whole deal just so he could be there for my friend's kid. So that's the kind of guy Jim Kelly is.
You don't forget that. And, of course, the guy that I think is maybe, if you were to take a vote, he might go down as the most fascinating player in the history of the NFL is Brett Favre. And we had him here for a couple years, certainly in Green Bay, pretty storied. What was he like as a quarterback and as a friend?
Well, one thing about Brett, first of all, he was one of the toughest guys you ever want to be around. I mean, I saw that guy play with some injuries that 99% of the guys wouldn't be playing with. Jim and Brett were a lot alike in the sense that they were middle linebackers playing quarterback position.
Yep.
You know, they just loved the game, and they didn't care if they were in the backyard or it was the Super Bowl. They approached it the same way. And so I was very fortunate to play with two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, arguably the two greatest defensive ends of all time in Reggie and Bruce.
Sure.
And two great coaches. I was fortunate with the organizations that I played for.
So when you give advice to Chad in terms of, step one is getting an invite. Step two is making the practice squad. Step three is getting activated. What now? Like for a receiver, let's just say the receiver-quarterback relationship, what do you tell him about that in terms of nurturing it, nourishing it?
Well, the thing is, I'm a believer that you got to work harder than anybody else on the team, and that means taking extra reps and making yourself a polished professional. You know, I learned that from two guys, Walter Payton and Jerry Rice. I mean, here they are, the greatest ever play, arguably their position, and they were still the hardest guys on the football field in practice. I tell Chad every time he goes to practice, it's game day. One thing about the NFL, tomorrow's a different day. So you're always fighting for your job. And I think that he does that. I think he does a great, I think he's a, what I call a real professional. And I've tried to teach him, once you get to this level, the guys that are pros, they last a long time. The guys that screw around and they're not professional in what they do, they're not around very long. I think he's done a great job with that.
Isn't it true too, Don, and you've coached as well, that coaches know a whole lot more about what's going on than maybe players realize? They see everything, whether you realize it or not.
I'm a high school coach, and I'm going to be a college coach here. I'm taking a head job here, actually, next Wednesday. They're announcing it.
Are you really?
And I am, and I always tell my kids that I'm coaching, I know everything. I got eyes everywhere. I got ears everywhere. I got eyes around my head. I can see and hear everything. So, and the thing is, it's true. I mean, things always get back to the head coach. So don't screw around. Do what you're supposed to do. Just do your job, and things will take care of itself.
Can you tell us what college, or is this a surprise?
You know, at this point, I'm sorry, I can't.
No, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, you've got to be excited in your own career. I mean, those are fun things.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a smaller Division III school.
Sure.
You know, but I wanted to coach at that level. I've had opportunities to go, you know, at the pro level and upper high, collegiate level, and I enjoy the high school and small college, to be honest.
Yeah, because you obviously would have the inroads to work that network and travel the country if you had to, and have playbook mm-hmm. will travel, so to speak. But knowing what you know, do you think that's an advantage, and that you really understand what it means to try to coach at the NFL, et cetera, and you know what that really means, and what the demands are and what the risk is?
You mean for Chad?
No, for you. I mean, as a coach, you could obviously get into an NFL, you know, get with the staff, whatever. But yeah. but you really understand it because you've played it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have three of my good buddies. I mean, my roommate in Buffalo for 6 years was Frank Reich,
sure.
head coach of the Colts. My roommate in Green Bay was Doug Peterson of the Eagles, and I used to sit next to Andy Reid in every meeting. So those guys are really good friends of mine, and I just felt like I had a calling at the high school level for 14 years, and now that I'm moving into a smaller college, I have a calling right now to do that. So I'm encouraged and ready to get started.
What is it that a high school coach should be to his players beyond wins and losses at playing football?
Well, I mean, it's almost like a father figure to them, really. I mean, some of these guys don't even have dads, and if they do, their dads aren't very good dads.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that I was called to that arena. And that was the role. It's not for me. I didn't go there to win games. I went there to teach young men the right way. And I think that when you teach the men the right way and you work hard, and you earn things in life, wins just come. And certainly we were very successful in that area, but I believe that, and I hope that we are more successful in turning young men into really good, great men in society.
What's the most satisfying part of coaching football?
Well, I think seeing kids' lives change. You know, there's so many hurting kids out there.
Yes.
You know, they come from messed up families, and even ones that are from good families. I mean, it's just a struggle. Yeah. It's hard. And I think just seeing a kid achieve things they never thought they could achieve, it's extremely rewarding for me.
Do you think football, as much as any sport, though, can teach that, because the mechanics of it and the fact that you're playing with so many different people and personalities is maybe the greatest educational opportunity that you can get, because it's everything. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional. It's everything that you deal with in life.
Yeah, I've coached a lot of sports, boys and girls. They all teach principles
yeah.
of what you're saying. But football is a different animal in a lot of ways. You know, it's not fun when it's 90 and you got to put your helmet and pads on and get up early in the morning and lift those weights and then take a physical beating in a game and then be ready to play again, you know, 7 days later. It's a grind. All sports are a grind, but there's something that's a little different about football. But the nice thing about football, too, that I love is the camaraderie in the locker room with the guys. Every team teaches that, but there's something about football that's a little bit more team-oriented, maybe because there's more guys playing at one time, and there's rosters of 50 to 100 kids, and even some smaller ones, but it's just something about football. Kenny Chesney's song certainly hits home with me. I love that song.
I guess it would resonate for sure. Now, Chad told me that a lot of what he learned, or at least was inspired about, was just being around before he was old enough to play on the varsity, being around it.
Yeah.
Was he the little guy that was out there trying to run patterns and do whatever he could on Friday nights?
Chad was fun to watch when he was little. And yes, he was the ball boy for me, when he was young. And he was around the locker room. He heard all the speeches and all that. But one thing about Chad now, he was so exceptionally quick as a young kid in middle school and even younger than that, that he could juke those high school kids, and they would get a kick out of it.
He had that already. That was genetic. You gave him that, huh?
Yeah, he was something to watch when he was a young boy, that's for sure. He still is.
Did he play other sports, I would assume?
He did. He played basketball and he ran track.
So was he a tenacious point guard or what?
He was pretty good, yeah. And he could jump. I mean, the kid can dunk a basketball. He's a kid that was – and when he got older in high school, we decided that we were going to train year-round. You know, coming out of high school, he didn't look like LeBron James. So he couldn't play three sports and just everybody in the country after him. He was a guy that he was going to enhance his skill of running routes and beating the guy off the line of scrimmage and catch balls. And he really honed in on those skills. And that's, I believe, why he is where he is.
How did you do that? Did you just throw him balls? Did you what?
And I used to, when I was training, I used to catch balls out of a jugs machine.
Yep.
Going about 65 miles an hour, standing 1 foot away. And so I did a lot of drills off of a jugs machine. And that's what I did with Chad, too. And then the thing is, too, is I had great teachers, especially professionally. You know, Charlie Joyner, who played 18 years in the league, he was my coach in Buffalo. Sherm Lewis, who was the coach in the 49ers, was also Jerry Rice's wideout coach. You know, so I had great coaches that taught me how to play that position. And you know, I was just able to teach Chad how to beat a guy and create space and make the DB think that, you know, something that you weren't doing. So, and he's done a well job. And through his college career, he had a great coach. And now, you know, up there in Minnesota, he just loves his coach up there that's done a wonderful job with Chad as well.
Yeah, his coach in college was a Minnesota boy, I believe. Carey, right?
Yeah, Rod Carey.
Yeah.
He's right
here, too.
Yeah. Rod was the head coach at Northern and did a great job with, Chad at NIU.
We've got our own here, Adam Thielen, obviously, who has, surpassed everything, never got in a game with practice squad the first couple of years, and now he is what he is, Pro Bowler. As a receiver, what do you see when you see Adam Thielen?
Adam has great patience in his routes. He's a lot of guys that get in the league, and they just get so quick, and I try to hurry up the route, cut it too short, and just make a move and the guy's in his hip pocket, but he has great patience. And obviously has tremendous ball skills and going up and getting the ball. But one thing I love about, Chad being, under those two, Stefan and Adam is those two are pros and they're professional in what they do. Their approach to the game is the way it should be. I mean, when Chad scored his first touchdown in the preseason game, who went and got the ball for him? Because Chad just threw it away. Who went and got the ball for him was Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells me a lot about a guy like Stephon Diggs. And Adam has taken Chad under his wing, too. And as Chad's father, I appreciate those two guys.
Absolutely. Well, Don, we appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much. Always fun when you can get some real insight into someone that has your background and perhaps some inspiration for some folks out there as well. So thank you so much. I hope I can meet you in person sometime at a game here.
I would love to. Thank you.
Don Beebe, nice enough to join us. His son, Chad, now a member of the Vikings active 53-man roster. A break and we come back. Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Deanne O'Brien will join us in minutes. St. Thomas Academy, undefeated this year, high school football. There's a smattering of games tonight, not many, but we will do a radio rally tonight at 9 o'clock to bring you up to the latest. What's going on, 6A football and beyond, because tomorrow night we'll have the Timberwolves on right here in WCCO. We're going to do a TV version of the rally tomorrow night, of course. Frank Bassalero and I will have all the highlights and scores and much more tomorrow over on WCCO TV and a couple great features as well as the high school volleyball tournaments, et cetera, going on. A lot going on in these parts, and we'll have it captured for you on WCCO radio and TV, not just now but throughout the weekend. Good, fun stuff. I'm starting to think, boy, oh, boy, these ponds have got to be freezing up real quick. Don't walk on the ice, folks. If you see that coating of ice, that it's not even going to be anywhere near thick enough for a long time to walk on the ice, and you don't know how deep it is, so don't. But you see that coating of snow tonight. You look out there, and, boy, it changes overnight, doesn't it? But I'll tell you the good thing about it. All of a sudden, when you're walking in downtown Minneapolis, and you're walking through the snow and it's cold, you kind of feel like it's Christmas time. You do, and you think, well, we got to get some decorations out here. We got to get this thing going. Let's get some music. Let's get some pomp and circumstance to this thing. All it takes is that one snowfall, that one, you know, the cold front with a little precipitation, as I call it, and you feel like we should be getting ready for the holidays. And I would imagine if you talk to people in the retail industry, that and I have the greatest marketing tool they have in Minnesota. The greatest marketing tool, you know what it is for the Christmas season? Snow. When they can get 6 inches or a foot of snow. When they got to get the parking lot graded off so that people can get into the mall. That's the greatest marketing tool that they have for retail during the Christmas time. You see Jack Nicholson sitting in the front row of the game when the Timberwolves played Lakers last night. He's with his son. Nicholson's 81 years old now. I mean, it makes sense, but you know what I'm saying? It makes sense, but it can't be. And his son's only 26. That means he had him when he was 55, according to my Sibley County math. I didn't realize that. So, looked like they were enjoying themselves. So Jack hasn't been on the big screen for a while. But when you're 81, you get to do whatever you want to do. Take a break. Come back with Dan O'Brien. Stay with us. Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Well, I tell you what, man. It is high school football weather if you're a good team. Because you're still playing and it's cold out. That means you did something right. St. Thomas Academy will take on Tartan on Saturday. Dan O'Brien is the head coach at St. Thomas Academy in his first year there. But a much-traveled coaching career and much more. Dan, congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. It's been a fun year.
We taught, you know, you started in high school football, and then you coached at Concordia in St. Paul with AD there, AD at Hamlin. Got on Coach Brewster's staff, Coach Kill's staff. You've seen it all. What was it like to come back to high school football all that stuff that you learned in between, how did that enter into this season?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, it's kind of refreshing. I always knew, Mike, that I would want to come back and probably finish my career, and I'm certainly on the backside of my career. But to finish it coaching at the high school level again, I had just an awesome experience when I started out with Larry Thompson at Lakeville, when Lakeville was, of course, just one school back in those days, and worked at Benilde St. Margaret's and then, of course, the college piece. So I knew that I would want to come back, and the experiences that I've had at the collegiate level, whether it be at Concordia, St. Paul, or whether it was at the University of Minnesota, of course, as you mentioned, with Coach Brewster and Coach Kill and Coach Clay, you steal a little bit from all of your mentors, and those people certainly were fabulous mentors for me.
Well, and you play that, you know, the Big Ten level, it's so technical, and there's spring football, and there's film sessions. Did you have to be careful not to try to overwhelm kids because you only got so much time with them?
Well, yeah, I did, and it took a while to adjust. The biggest thing was the amount of time that you have to work with the college kids in film. You don't have that time in high school, and that was one of the adjustments that I had to learn, and that the high school kids, Mike, as you know, are pulled in so many different directions, which is a good thing. You know, they're playing basketball and hockey and baseball, and all of those coaches want a piece of them as well. You know, of course, at the University of Minnesota, they were just playing one sport, and gosh, we could get them for, you know, 20 hours a week was what we were allowed up to. And certainly we could do a lot more teaching off of video than what we're able to do at the high school level.
Were you able also to learn some things that you didn't know before, you know, whether it's how to turn as a D-back or how to play middle linebacker, where your eyes should be? There were a lot of things like that you picked up that a high school kid can pick up that was a big advantage for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I was around some people that are fabulous coaches. And when you do football, you know, when you're in the season, you know, Coach Fleck and his guys over at the University of Minnesota now, those guys wake up and, you know, they're doing football at 6 a.m. and they're still doing it at 10 o'clock at night. And when you're able to do it, you know, you love to do it or you don't do it that way. But when you're able to do it that many hours a day, you certainly pick up things and you're just exposed to so much more than what the high school guys are. Now, that doesn't necessarily make you better than a high school guy, but it certainly does give you opportunities to pick up some things that, you know, a high school guy that's teaching 8 hours of math a day that he may not get.
You're still the new coach coming in. How long did it take, did you think, before you got the buy-in that you wanted? Was it the off season, during the season? Obviously, the success has followed, but was there a point in time where you felt like, okay, I've connected with this team?
Well, you know, I would probably tell you late in the summer.
We did a joint practice scrimmage with Totino Grace in Minnetonka in Shakopee up at Minnetonka with Dave Nelson and of course Coach Ferguson and Coach Benton. And it was after that date I thought, you know what, we may have a chance here. And the kids had worked really hard this summer, and I wasn't sure what to expect, not knowing what the ability levels and what your competition was going to be like. It was when I had a chance to see how our kids competed there that, we may be onto something and we may have some fun this season.
What was that first game like when you returned to the sidelines on a Friday night?
Well, it was nerve-wracking. Mike, we were at North St. Paul, and before you knew it, we were down 7-0. They came out, and I think all of us were a little nervous. The kids, obviously they've got a new offense, they've got a new defense, they've got new special teams, they've got a new coaching staff with different techniques and things like that. And we kind of got back on our heels a little bit, and North St. Paul played us really well that first half, and we were down 7-0 before you knew it. I thought, oh man, what did I get myself into? But second quarter and the rest of it came around, and it's been a learning experience, Mike, to be honest with you. The whole season has been, and myself, my staff and myself, we really enjoyed it.
And of course, many years ago, you worked under the tutelage of Chuck Sundin, your high school coach, and people that knew him out there, he passed a couple of years ago, but he lived football, he loved football, and I don't care where you coach, if it's Winthrop, Gaylord, or St. Thomas, a good coach is a good coach, and he knew what he was doing.
Oh, for sure. When you think, you and I were very fortunate. I had the chance to play for Chuck Sundin. You had the chance to play for Dave Mayne, two of the legendary coaches, the old Tomahawk Conference back in those days. And both of those guys had well over 100 wins in their high school coaching careers. And we were very lucky, both of us, to play for guys at that caliber.
And I think part of it was, what do you take with you from it? Well, there's lots of things, but they had a great passion. You knew that they wanted to win. You knew it was important to them. And kids pick up on that, don't they?
Oh, there's no question about it. He was excited. Coach Sundin was excited to talk football. It didn't matter when. He would talk at 24/7 and Saturday, Sunday. None of those kind of things mattered. He just loved football. And now you think it's a little bit crazy when you're that age. But when you get a little bit older, you realize how fortunate he was to have found something that he loved.
Yes.
As much as he loved football, and you knew every day he was going to work, he was certainly enjoying it.
Now, I watched Washington State the other night. Maybe you caught that game late on Saturday night. They're playing Cal. And I thought, there's a vintage Tracy Clay's performance, man. It was 13-13. They picked the ball off, would have sealed the game, but the kid fumbled out of the end zone. So they had to make a couple more plays defensively to preserve it and get the win. But what was he like to learn from? Because the more I watch him, the more impressed I am with what he can do with what he has.
I would tell you this, that Tracy Clay's is probably the best defensive-minded football coach that I have ever been around.
Really?
I learned, and you know him a little bit. For those of the people that do, he's cerebral. He doesn't say much, and you're not really sure what he's thinking, but the wheels are always turning. I used to watch him at practice when I was in an administrative role before I joined him on his staff, and he would sit back, and he wouldn't really talk to very many people during practice, Mike, but he was looking, he was observing, and then he would come in and he'd pull a staff together and pull the kids together, and he would rattle off about 8 or 9 things that he noticed, and they were always little subtle things, like we talked about earlier, those little things to make you a better football player. And I'm not one bit surprised at all to see them have the success that they're having at Washington State, and to be able to call defenses for Mike Leach when you know he's going to probably get you 40 points a game. I think those two are a match made in heaven.
Yeah, it sure seems like it'd be perfect. Of course, it all stems from that bowl game when you lost 10 players and found a way to beat Mike Leach that he was so impressed by the defense that he had put together. When you would sit up, when it's game day like that, and you're calling defense and you get into the chess match of a game and you try to figure out what it is that the other team's game plan, is that similar at the high school level or is it much different because college you have so much time to figure out what their playbook is?
Well, it's similar. You just take it to a different level at the college level. I do the same thing with my staff here. The things that I learned from Coach Keel and Coach Clays and Coach Brewster and all of those along the way, it's just at a different level. As you said, you have all day to do about it. Sometimes you're chasing goals too, Mike. Sometimes you're sitting there and you're dreaming of stuff that they don't even do, but they might do, and you find yourself spending time on it. Those are the things that you don't do in high school quite so much because you just don't have the time.
But when you get into game mode as a head coach, that's different too for you. You know, head coach versus assistant coach. Are you allowed to look at what they're trying to do, or are you more trying to manage a team?
Well, you know what? I've got a fantastic staff. You know, Ricky Foggy is on it. Chad Abbott and Luke Marks are our offensive coordinators, and Rick Frickland and John Springer handle most of the defensive stuff for me. So I am able to look at it from a game management perspective, which is probably the part of my coaching game that I need the most work on because I haven't done as much of that. But I do that piece, and I mess around with the defense a little bit. Otherwise, I kind of I've got good people, and I'm smart enough, I think, at this point anyway, to back up and let those guys do their thing.
And during by day, you're a fundraiser, right?
Yeah, I'm doing some things with some development pieces and some community outreach, and I've enjoyed that piece too. Of course, I did a little bit of that at the University of Minnesota, so it's been a natural fit for me at St. Thomas.
It's amazing how your career, though, you've landed on your feet many, many times, in part mainly because of who you are and the way you approach life, but you've seen a lot of things over the last several years.
Yeah, I have, and you know what? I wouldn't change a thing. I had a fabulous 9 years at the University of Minnesota, and in both Concordia and Hamlin. I was at 7 and 8 years at those institutions, and now to have the opportunity to come back and, you know, kind of be full circle and back at the high school level, I'm enjoying that as well.
Your network is pretty darn big right now, isn't it?
Well, it's been fun. You know what? I learned, you know, the small town values are you can never ever have enough friends, and when you meet people and those kind of things, you never know when you're going to cross paths with them again. So that's an important piece. You always want to have as many friends as you possibly can, Mike, right?
Yeah, for sure. And give me a Tartan scouting report Saturday.
Athletic, very, very athletic. They're a physical team, and they've got some skilled kids, and we're concerned. They've got great speed, but hopefully we'll come out ready to go, and I'm sure that they will too. It's a new position for them to be in the playoffs, and for us it's been a number of years, so I think both of us will be excited. It should be a real competitive game.
And that's noon on Saturday in Shakopee, right?
Noon at Saturday, yeah. Saturday in Shakopee, and maybe it'll warm up a little bit. It doesn't look like it as I'm looking out the window now, but you know what? We'll both play in it, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Can't beat a cold weather game. That means you did something right, right?
Absolutely. We're still playing. You're right about that.
Dan, thank you so much. Good luck and congratulations.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mike. It's been great to be on with you.
You bet. Dan O'Brien, boy, he is. What a great career he's had as a coach. And, you know, he's so well-liked by so many different people that it never is easy for anybody in life. But he's been able to travel it and get lots of opportunities because people think so highly of his work ethic and the values and what he brings to it and the culture that he creates at every place. That's fun to see him having success at the high school level now as well. Take a break, come back. We'll get a little preview from Steve Thompson as we head into a version of the Radio Rally. Couple of big 6A game showdowns tonight, the state quarterfinals. We'll see if Steve can give us a little something on what's going on there and much more. Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Magnum PI. Presented by. And by your local Chevrolet dealers. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830, WCCO. Some high school football scores as we know them right now. St. Anthony's beating, boy, they've been a Cinderella story. They're beating St. Paul Johnson, another Cinderella story, 22-8. Minnetonka and Eden Prairie look like they're locked in a pretty good one. Eden Prairie leads at 15-13 at Chanhassen High School in the fourth quarter. Over at White Bear Lake, Blaine is leading Eastview 14-2. My guess would be that Eastview got a safety, but I don't have that confirmed. Blaine has a nice team. They're undefeated. Eden Prairie's lost once. Big Lakeville North, we got a piece on them tomorrow night. Channel 4 went out and did a story with them. They're a great big line, man. They got a big offensive line. Big defensive line as well. And that's why they're number one in the state. They play St. Michael Albertville tomorrow, who had this incredible comeback. Down 28-0 going into the fourth quarter against Edina. They had three onside kicks. They successfully not just recovered, but scored touchdowns on, and then went for 2-1. It brought one of the most incredible wins in the history of tournament football. Last year, St. Michael lost one like that to Maple Grove, but just incredible. And it will that one will be, you know, the I say this from a media standpoint, we didn't have any cameras out there because who stays to the fourth quarter when a team's up 28-0, right? You know who the winner is. You got your highlights. Get out of there. So there's not any real good, you know, there's coaches tape, but there's not a lot of real good tape on that game. So you can't just view it. And otherwise, we would have gone out and done a feature story on it, but we didn't have access to the video that I would have liked, the good videotape of it. So anyway, that's what's coming up tonight. Steve will also have the latest on the state volleyball tournament, round one, over at the XL Energy Center. That should be pretty good. Egan, the favorite, they won. Champlain Park won. Steve calls some of their games on the TV side of things. So he'll have coaches calling in. He'll have just a once he opens Pandora's box on this, it just kind of explodes. And Steve will take you through. And then 11 o'clock tonight, Thursday night, remember, so it's aviation. The aviation show with Al Malberg will come your way tonight at 11 o'clock. We're trying to keep that as consistent as we can to 11 o'clock on Thursdays. Once in a while, there's a, you know, the Timberwolves are playing or something like that could push it back to the West Coast. But in general, we found that's the best place for it. So Al Malmberg's got that in hand, and he will bring you what used to be called Aviation Friday. I don't know if they call it, do they call it Aviation Thursday now? Or just World of Aviation?
Yeah,
okay. So the point is they're talking about planes and things of that nature. And they'll do that tonight for an hour, Thursday night from 11 to 12 now. And then tomorrow at 6 a.m. after the 5 to 6 news hour, Dave Lee picks it up. Takes it to 9. I'll be on at 9 o'clock. I'll spend some time with Dave Lee. Tony Levine, I told you about earlier, from a college coach to owning a Chick-fil-A restaurant. What gives? All kinds of fun stuff we've got coming up tomorrow on, between 9 and noon. That's all I can tell you for now. But coming up next is Steve Thompson, the radio rally, high school football, high school volleyball, and much more. Steve's got coaches lined up. He's got all kinds of fun things, so it should be pretty good. And just remember, if you're going out tomorrow to watch a game, dress warm. Same with Saturday, because it won't be cold and it ain't getting any better. The radio rally is coming up next on WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.